and welcome to Power On Podcast Portable, yet another episode. How are you doing, everyone? My name is Murugaru554, Taylor with an I. And with me, of course, is Murugaru553, also known as Taylor. How are you doing, Taylor?
You're gonna mess with people's heads doing that. Jeez. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I have a little bit of a headache, but I'm all right.
Oh, that's good to hear. Hopefully I'm not confusing anyone. I am not Murugaru554. I am Sushi Beast.
you don't want to be Murugaru554.
He's after 553, so probably not so.
Yeah, I mean, not only is there another 550-odd other ones, but it's not a good name to follow after.
Fair enough. So today, we are expanding our horizons once again, and we are looking at the GBA and a little game called Klonoa Empire of Dreams.
Little games, all right, yeah.
Yeah, this is cool. Finally hitting the GBA, which is nice. One of my favorite handhelds for a long time was my favorite handheld. It's got a very nice library of games to choose from. And this is one I had in my library for quite some time and had played a little bit. And I liked it, but it was just one of those things where just put it down for one reason or another. I think I had started traveling again at that point. So put it down, and it's nice to pick it up after a number of years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I honestly had never even heard of Klonoa until kind of joining the YouTube community of people and some people mentioning it here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I played Door of the Phantom Isle first, right. And then...
I've seen you play that in one particularly frustrating moment.
It was late, leave me alone, it was...
No, I just mean, I remember you were having some trouble and you were getting pretty damn frustrated.
Yeah, outside of that room, actually, pretty easy. And it was funny, is I think I went through it again, and just without any issues, I kind of blitzed through it. I was just like, why?
It happens.
The product of the situation, I guess.
I guess so.
But this is not Door to the Phantom Isle. This is a different one.
Yeah, so... Empire of Dreams is my first and actually only experience with the Klonoa franchise. I had definitely seen the other games, and it's really weird. The people I talk to once in a while that were sort of into gaming and selling games and stuff had always kind of mentioned that Door of the Phantom Isle was a very hard game to come across for the PlayStation. People held on to it because the people who had played it really liked it. And then the second game had come out for the PS2, and people that I knew were getting really excited about it, and they said it was really good. But I'd never heard of the GBA games. Nobody had really talked about them. And I just happened to find a nice complete copy of it while in Korea. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to give this a chance and see if I like it. And if I do, maybe I'll try and track down some of the other games, which I unfortunately have never been able to do. But this was a good experience. I'm happy this was sort of your choice, I guess, if you want to say that. And it was a good one.
Kind of. I don't know.
Well, sort of. We have a weird process. But, you know, you or I sort of suggest a game and then we kind of choose from there. But I think this was one where we both had the game and you were kind of like, well, why not just do that kind of thing? And it's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's an enjoyable game to an extent. I would say. Well, I mean, it's fun, but it's just at times it feels a little too easy with some of the bosses, particularly. Mm-hmm. So,
but we'll get into that.
I don't want to like jump all over the place, but yeah, it's. I would say if you enjoyed this, you'd probably like the other games. So definitely try to find a way to play them. If I recall, Phantom Isles at least downloadable, at least the Japanese version.
Definitely, I know you got it from the Japanese PSN. I don't know if it's on the North American one. I think if it was, I might have tried to buy it already. So
okay.
It might not be on there, but don't quote us on that. It could be. One of the things, though, okay, you're talking about the difficulty. Why don't we just start with that? Now, I was playing the game and I felt the same as you. I thought particularly the bosses were relatively easy. Mm-hmm. And most of the stages are not that difficult either. And as I was playing it, though, I thought, well, they probably tried to make this a little easier because it's on the GBA. Well, it's mostly for kids, probably. That's what might have been their sort of thought process with it all. And if they thought, well, if we make this really difficult, kids are going to hate it. And we don't want to make cynical, mad kids like the 1980s Nintendo children from the NES days. We want to make happy children who have wonderful and beautiful thoughts and dreams.
Who whine about being killed in a game. That's right. I said it.
So maybe that might have been part of the reason why they made this a little bit easier.
Oh, possibly. I mean, this game and Phantom Isle, they both, I don't find either one really to be that difficult overall. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it just could be a product of what the series is going for or what have you. But I don't know. Like, it's like the bosses and stuff are not too difficult. But if you are definitely trying to collect everything, it can get a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. But I think just coming from our thought process of being adults and having played other platform games and such, maybe that's why it is easy for us. Maybe a kid wouldn't find this that easy. I think it's easy enough that they could beat it, but maybe not as quickly as you or I could beat it.
Unless they're savants.
They could be. So I think they did a pretty decent job, though, of striking a balance of like, well, we're trying to make this a little bit on the easier end for kids. But it wasn't so ridiculously easy that I didn't ever die or anything, though, either.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah.
So. what do you think about the graphics? You know, I thought the animation for Klonoa himself was really good for this game.
I think, the character graphics as well as just the backgrounds are all... I like the backgrounds, but some of the stage... how do I want to put it? Stage design?
Mm-hmm.
Itself feels a little blocky.
I
like the background kind of image and stuff, but mm-hmm. Klonoa looks smooth, the enemies look smooth, the bosses, because they're a bit bigger, they're kind of what's the word,
they're a little pixelated and choppy looking.
Yeah, pixelated and choppy, but
they seem to be animated a little bit differently too. Almost like they were going for a bit of a 3D look on some of them, it seemed like.
I could see how you kind of go with it for that, yeah.
That's how I felt on, especially like the third boss and the final boss. They just kind of, they don't really just look 2D. It's as if they were trying to break the plane a little bit, so they look a little bit out of place.
When dreams become real.
Freddy Krueger. But as a whole, though, I think this is a pretty good-looking game. And this is a game that came out, 2001?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much when the GBA came out. So we're looking at a really old game now, and it still looks great.
Yeah, it does. It does look really good, especially... I personally don't like to play it on just, a regular Game Boy Advance system. Or, if I had an SP, I'd try it on the SP because I like the SP. But right now, my DS is being borrowed, so...
Okay. I was using it on my DS, so...
So I had to use the Game Boy Advance player for the GameCube, and it still looks really good on the TV, so...
Yeah. Yeah, the Game Boy Advance player, sometimes it really blows up games too much, and they don't look good at all, but not to get on too much of a tangent, but what a wonderful product. I mean, I had a chance to get my GBA player when I got... my GameCube.
Uh-huh.
They had that promotion with Nintendo, and they were like, oh, you can buy the GameCube and you get one free game, or you can choose the GBA player. And I was like, I am not buying any of those games because they're not interesting at all to me. It was like Metroid Prime and Luigi's Mansion, I think, were two of them.
Ooh.
Star Fox Adventures, I think, was one of the others, and I forget what the fourth is. But I looked at them, I was like, you know, they're all games that I can buy for $20 or less in the future. I can guarantee it. I presume they're not very expensive games now. But I was like, that GBA player looks awesome. I don't know how anyone is not choosing this thing. I don't know how anyone is not looking at that and saying, that is a great thing to have. Especially if you don't have a GBA and you want to try some of those games. It's really awesome.
Mm.
But not to get too much off topic there. So yeah, anyways, Klonoa, I agree with you on the backgrounds and stuff too. I think the only thing about the backgrounds I didn't really like is they don't feel that varied to me. They stick really close to the theme, and they all kind of feel the same in a lot of ways. The foreground stuff looks different and it's colored different, but a lot of the background stuff I just kind of ignored because They just sort of went with this dreamy empire look for a lot of it. And if they didn't, then it was just sort of a blank screen of, well, that's nature behind everything.
Okay. I think it looks better than the actual graphical design of the stages themselves, like the platforms okay. and stuff. The platforms stuff feel a little
plain. I mean, yeah, plain. Again, this is a very early GBA game, so I think it's kind of maybe a bit par for the course at that point. Mm. So, yeah. Where would you like to sort of steer the ship next?
Anywhere. I don't lucid dream, so I never control my dreams. So,
why don't we hit the music then?
Okay.
So the music is, to me, very well done. I thought that the first stage on the first world, that music caught me right away. I was like, wow, this is really good for an old GBA game. It really conveys the sort of dream world that Klonoa is thrown into. Mm-hmm. And some of the other ones are really good. I thought the third world was really good. The second one's a little just kind of totally out of mind for me. I can't even seem to remember it. So I don't remember it being bad. I just don't remember it being obviously very memorable. Four is pretty good. And five was also pretty good. Yeah. But I would say one and three, sorry, were probably my favorites.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I enjoy the music. It's kind of, I don't know how to put it. It's something that kind of just sticks with you. It may not be as memorable as some platforming games music, like yep. Mario, Mega Man.
Sonic and stuff.
You know, yeah, Sonic and everything. But it's still really good on its own, and it's enjoyable. And I guess it's whenever I do kind of play it, it always, I don't want to say it always surprises me to think, oh man, this is so good. But it's kind of like that, like you just rediscover it kind of thing. Like, oh man, yeah, this is so awesome. It's kind of like that to me. So,
yeah, a lot of GBA games just surprise me at how good the music can be. It's just unfortunate that it was typically being pumped out of that tiny little speaker. That's the only thing that seems to sort of hold it back. And then once it's beyond that on your TV with, say, the GBA player, it doesn't sound very good at all, generally speaking, because now it's trying to go through stereo sound and it's almost trying too hard to bring out the music. And it's really unfortunate on a lot of cases, but I could probably see this working still on the GBA player as you played it.
Yeah, I was like, yay, you know, when I was playing it.
Nice.
I enjoyed it.
So it wasn't really scratchy or anything?
Not, you're kind of asking really the wrong person because
okay.
I'm a little deaf. So to me, it wasn't that. It wasn't like, holy shit, what is, you know, trying to push tunes through a grind organ kind of thing. It was good. It was good.
Nice, nice. All right, and what about sort of looking at each world then?
Okay.
Why don't we start with the first world, and that would be Gazaland, or the Fighting City.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just pretty basic. They use a lot of the stages to familiarize you with how the simple platforming mechanics of the game are. Here's a rope, how to climb it. Here's an enemy. You have to pick them up and learn how to use them to jump higher, this kind of stuff. I think it's a pretty good introductory world for players that are not familiar with the franchise at all.
Yeah, for sure. It's because you got to kind of get used to the whole concept of grabbing a hold of enemies and using them to jump higher, to knock other enemies out and that sort of thing.
Hit switches and things.
Right, and they don't throw too much at you to be like, oh my god, what's going on, how do you do this and that and everything. It's something that they present to the player is kind of really easy to kind of get a hold of and stuff, and not just like, here's everything, fuck you, have fun. So
figure it out for yourself.
Right.
Which can be frustrating with some platformers, and they do have quite a bit going on here. This isn't just your average platformer of, well, you're going from left to right. This is a lot of, well, okay, first stage, maybe you do that. Next stage, the exit door is right in front of you. You have to go all the way around everything to figure out, get all these gems and get these stars and get the keys. And, oh, okay, and I figured out. And you have to really learn the pattern, because a lot of the stages force you to follow this direction. And if you sort of try to backtrack, usually that doesn't work out for you. You have to kind of keep pressing forward in a certain direction.
Right.
So, which is interesting. I thought that worked for the most part in this game.
For the most part. There are definitely some times where you just kind of like, oh my God, get through this kind of thing. Or
yeah. It's like, ah, oh, that's really weird. Why would I have to go this way or get this key over here, which is really annoying or something. But yeah. So, okay. It sounds like we agree pretty closely on the Gazaland area.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's definitely, especially for somebody who's never really played it before, played any of the games in Klonoa, it's a nice kind of like, hey, check it out.
This guy can kind of hover. You can learn that he can sort of float for a little bit.
Right. Kind of has a Yoshi-esque float in a way, sort of, kind of.
Sort of.
Yeah, not nearly as vertical in that regard, but...
Mm.
It has that.
But he's got that little pump, though, that right when he's about to fall, he sort of pumps up a little bit.
That desperation. Ah!
Yeah, and then he just falls straight down. Fair enough. What about the second one, Priya Mill, which is the opera town?
I do not like this place.
It's just completely out of mind even for me. So I don't recall it being like really bad, but I was just like, eh, it's not a particularly good follow-up. As a lot of platforming games seem to do, where... the first world is excellent at showing you what to do. Second one is just kind of thrown in there. It's almost as if they didn't know what to do with it. They're just like, yeah, let's put that second because it's kind of shitty. Which is usually not a good idea, right? You kind of want to keep building the momentum of, oh, this is really good. Oh, this stage kind of sucks. Oh, this is really good again.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There's just something about it. I don't know if it's the motif or just the... just something about the second world for... this game that's exactly
like, just like,
ah, really it just
getting
kind of
out of this place.
Yeah, it feels really it feels pretty just like a drag. It just like, ah, come on. So
right, moving along.
Very ho-hum.
Yeah. All right, well, then let's just go straight into the third world then, which is, and I'm probably mispronouncing some of these. They're kind of bizarre names, a lot of them. Geobob? I think it's called Geobob.
Geobaboo.
Baboo. This is the food world, which I don't really... some of the themes just seem to be there for the story, which doesn't really... you don't really have much concern about the story. It's this game could function completely without the story. It's not a bad story or anything. You're just kind of like, okay, it just seems to be there to be for themes, more or less. And the third world doesn't even really have a food theme to it, but it's the food world. Just kind of strange. But I like this one, though. I like the puzzles in it. I like the music in it. I thought it was a very good progression from the first world to the third world. I thought it was well done.
Yeah, they should have just cut the second one out, really.
Yeah, they had to. This game's pretty short, so they had to,
I know, but something. Just
fluff it a little bit.
Make one and three longer, because three is enjoyable. I do. Geoboob, Geobob, Geoboo, whatever. It's, yeah, weird name. But I like the puzzles for it. It definitely makes you forget how crummy the second world is, and you're just like, oh, okay, this is more of the enjoyable stuff. Yay. I'm happy again.
Nice. All right, so moving on to the third world, which is Santa.
The fourth world.
The fourth world, excuse me.
So excited about Geobaboo.
Oh, it's a Geobaboo. So the fourth world, Santa, is the forest village. And this is another one that seems a bit sort of...
false advertising.
Inaptly named, yeah. Just it doesn't... again, it seems to be part of the story aspect of the game, but not anything to do with the actual world kind of thing. Which, again, doesn't really... hurt this world, because I think this one, maybe I had the most trouble with puzzles.
This is
some of them just kind of made me mad, and by that I mean it feels like the developers made something so obnoxiously hard that you just give up and you take damage or die. Where you see a switch and you're thinking, okay, I'm gonna get it this time by throwing this enemy at it, and then you miss, so you're just like, I have to walk on this portion of water, which gives Klonoa damage, and then you take two hits or something trying to go across the water and hit a switch and get back out, and then you're left with one heart and you might get hit and die. And fortunately, the game isn't too brutal with that. It starts up pretty easily and you get to sort of continue from where you died, and that's nice. But just I just felt like it was a bit poor planning on their part.
Yeah, because isn't 4 where they introduced the kind of the directional arrows, or is that 3?
That's in 3.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, they have, I don't know, just 4 is just a really obnoxious with that. Mm. And the puzzles, yeah, as you said, definitely going back over water when you only have like 3 hearts.
Or potentially 1. Maybe you've already taken damage, and the only way to get to that switch is walking on the water. And I just think that's kind of dumb. Like, I presume there is a way of doing it without taking damage, but after trying it 2 or 3 times, you just kind of like, well, I don't want to do this for the next hour trying to do this when I can just take a little bit of damage, get it done, and get out, kind of thing. But it just seems annoying.
Trying to solve it with a dull instrument. Smash it open. Yeah. 4 is kind of, it's something about the even worlds that kind of...
But 4 is still better than 2.
Yeah.
At least the music in 4 is good.
So. Right. No, it's just, it grinds your gears a little bit. And you just kind of like, what, who, were there like 2 different teams working on this? It's like, you know, the actual design. Yeah, the actual stage designers are doing 1.
We're odds, you're evens.
Yeah.
And then they saw that 2 and 4 sucked so bad that they just cut it at 5. They're like, we're not giving you 6. Forget it. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, so, something, because I don't know what the hell they were thinking at times, but
yeah, it's just too bad. But let's move on to the 5th world here, so the final one, and that is, now this is the hardest to pronounce, and I'm for sure going to butcher this one. It's like Leljamba or Jimba. I don't know what was it in Japanese.
Erujimba or something.
Okay. So and this is the Imperial City, so you kind of get to the final part here where the king and the kingdom and all this stuff. And
king? It's an empire.
Well, whatever.
An emperor.
The emperor, whatever.
Jeez.
Then. He acts like a brutish, annoying bastard of a king anyway. So. But again, this, like I said, you don't have to pay attention to the story. So, it's pretty... pretty much just a wash. So, but this is a pretty decent send-off for the game. You get a pretty good world, pretty decent final boss. I felt comfortable with it being the final part of the game.
It makes up for the frustration of that is 4, and like I said, it kind of alternates from going how I feel about it. It's not too bad or anything with its stages. It's not aggravating. That's
right
for certain. Right. Like 4 is 4. I think I probably lost a blood vessel or something somewhere. Just
clumps of hair.
Clumps of hair. Just had a brain aneurysm. Nearly suffered a stroke, but that's all right. 5 definitely does not have those issues. So
right. 5 seems to strike a nice balance of, yes, this is difficult, but you can definitely solve it.
Right. It's not like, oh, here is some absurdly confusing backwater way of doing this, but it's here in front of you. Just make it happen. Work your magic.
Fair enough. Well, I would like to play 10 Degrees of Taylor now, if you don't mind.
That's all right.
All right. Now, I've decided to go with a very unique 10 Degrees here.
Uh-oh.
And this is that each world introduces a new puzzle aspect to it. So I've decided to let you rate the puzzle aspects for each world.
Oh, boy.
So I thought this was a little bit more creative than just, again, worlds or bosses.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to see kind of your opinion on how the progression of the game went along. Okay. So the first one here is the world 1. Now, and if you think you can add anything more to that, maybe I forget a few puzzle pieces or something, go ahead. But the first world really introduces the balloons and the springs. So the balloons are basically Klonoa's sort of weapon is this air bullet thing that allows him to pick up enemies and then throw them. But he can also attach himself to things like Klingon to sort of like Strider, the way Strider does in the game Strider, sort of like that. So he can attach to balloons and hover over the air with them, and a few other, I was going to say aliens, but a few other enemies that he can like fly like a helicopter and things like that. But the balloons are just basically to jump over pits and stuff. And then springs are pretty much what you'd expect, like springs in most platform games, to get up to higher points. So what did you think of those parts?
How am I grading this?
Well, I think you're going to grade it on sort of the use of it on each stage. Did you find it was just frustrating and annoying, or was it actually put to good use on each stage and made you think, and the overall flow of the stage benefited from these sort of elements to them?
With the spring... I would say because you added the balloons in there, I think it takes a little off. The balloons, I don't mind. They're fine, but they're kind of wonky, I feel. There's a little bit of issue with navigating them sometimes. Nothing like, oh my god, this is so hard, but just something about them that rubbed me the wrong way.
Okay.
I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I don't like that sort of device in platformers. I really don't like the whole flashbacks to other games but I don't know. I'd say they're spiffy springs and ball-tastic balloons. I don't know. So I don't know. I'd just a 7. Just give them
okay.
A 7.
All right, that's a little higher for that than from where you're sort of leading on with the balloons. All right. Well, what about Okay, well, what about the second world where we start to introduce wind currents? And now Klonoa sort of gets blown up into the sky with like a bluster of leaves, and he can't really maneuver when he's in there. He can only maneuver once he's at the top, at the end of the sort of wind stream, and he hits a ceiling or something, and then he can move to the left or the right. What about that element?
Personally, I actually don't mind it. It can be aggravating when you're trying to get through and you're like, I gotta... gotta get rid of this wind current or something with the block.
Right.
But personally, I like that kind of setup for it. It's not some other sort of device that's impeding your path. It's just some wind. So get rid of the wind. It's like, okay. So I personally kind of like it. So
okay.
I don't know. I'd throw it an 8. Sure. Why not?
Sure. Fair enough. All right, moving along then, World 3. Now, as far as I remember, this is the only world that we get introduced to the bombs. So these sort of like, pretty much like any of the other enemies in the game that sort of walk around, they're like, earlier in the game we get these little red balloon-shaped type creatures. And then in this point we get these bomb-type creatures that move pretty much in the same pattern, but they explode and can hit switches and such. And also that introduced the sort of arrow blocks that when the bombs hit, they can sort of go to a further distance.
Yeah, I like the bombs. I like the bombs. I don't like the arrows so much. I don't mind them.
Me too, I don't really like arrows.
But they're just kind of like, I don't know. There's just something about the arrow...
They're a little finicky. I mean, you got to be pretty precise and you've got to time everything pretty properly if you want them to work. And...
Right. It's not, by no means is it like game breaker or anything, but it's just really, you're kind of like,
No, I wish this wasn't here. That's
Yeah.
You're not really frustrated, but you're just thinking, oh, it would be nice if I could just do this a lot quicker.
Yes. It just takes a little
hindrance.
Time. A hindrance, yeah, that's a good word for it. It's a hindrance. So, but I do like the bombs. I don't know. I would probably shelve it with the spring and the balloons at a 7.
Okay, still pretty high score so far.
Well,
all right. What about? Yeah, go ahead.
No.
Nothing. Okay, I was gonna move on. So. World 4 here is when we get introduced to water and water switches.
Water everywhere, but not a drop to drink.
Yeah, too many platform characters seem to really dislike water. They just seem to die easily, or there's just... I don't know,
bathe more often.
just not good swimmers for some reason.
I do not like the water devices in this game at all. That's all the really because it's just frustrating and more frustration. So you get, let's see, I will give you a 4 for water.
The lowest score yet.
I mean, with springs and balloons, it's that's kind of a basic for platforms. Okay, you know, cool.
It is.
And they work fine. I personally just don't like balloon, the grapple mechanic. I'm not the biggest fan of it. Not even in Super Metroid.
It's a lot of kooky timing a lot of the time, and just if you miss something, you often get punished pretty badly, and that's kind of my feeling on those sort of things.
Right. You know, it's just, okay, but this water stuff, no, go away forever.
It's really too bad, because most of the stage design is very interesting, but yeah, often you just get frustrated by because it is the element of water is so prevalent in all of those designs. You're just like, it's really too bad, because they had some decent ideas here, but it's just kind of making me mad at this point.
right.
So, all right, well, just the final one here would be a pretty straightforward one, and that is the green attachment blocks or boxes, whatever you'd like to claim them as. And they just basically allow Klonoa to attach to higher up places on walls. A giant hand comes out and attaches to some sort of area. They're matched to a part on the wall that looks pretty much exactly like the blocks. You can always tell, that's where I can put this block and I can swing across or whatnot.
So. Which definitely helps, because if they didn't have anything like that,
you would be extremely frustrated. Right. I would be surprised if they hadn't put that there. So luckily it is all very visible and easy to follow.
Right, yeah. Thankfully they did not step back into the dark ages of gaming and just assume that everybody designed the game that's going to play it. Like, hey,
figure that kind of goofiness out.
Throw this block here kind of thing. I like the blocks. I like the blocks. Mm. It's a nice little add-on that when I had first played through it, I never really expected that, I guess.
Mm.
So, I mean, I know you're not really trying to... personally, I don't even remember Phantom Isle even really doing anything like that. I could be totally wrong, but I don't know. It's a cool little nifty device to be like, okay, start slapping blocks on here and start hopping around. I'm like, okay! So I like that. So I will give it a 9.
Oh, nice, nice. I like that one too. I thought it was a really good element, and it really helped the fifth world in a lot of ways.
Right.
A few of them are a little tricky, not to the point of being really angry, but definitely a little tricky, and you get them and you feel really satisfied after you solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like them too. Nice, nice. So, I personally don't have too much more to say about this game. I think it's a very good GBA game. I don't know if it's very uncommon or if it is common, but anyone who has a GBA, likes platformers, has not played this, it's definitely worth a look.
I'd agree with that. I guess some things to also throw out is that there are times where you have kind of the typical platforming scrolling stages, which
forget those.
Aren't too horrible, but they're not like, yay, scrolling. I mean, nobody's excited for scrolling stages. Ever. Nobody's like, yes, the scrolling stage. I'm so excited.
Let's do it.
Like, it's sort of a scrolling stage, but what is it? The snowboard or the skateboard kind of water. But then there's
those are most of them are actually like that. So.
Right. So
they're pretty forgiving, thankfully. But I guess I won't say too much more. They are forgiving, at least.
Yeah.
You don't. I mean, I died a few times on some of them, but you don't feel like, oh my god. And you know, you can actually kind of skip them too. You don't actually have to do them, which is nice. But I personally did all the stages just because I didn't get all the gems on those because I didn't feel like it. But I still did the stage. It's like, okay, I've at least done the stage. That's good enough for me.
Yeah. So I would say at least with those boarding stages, it can be a little hard to try to collect everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little hard because
It's not.
Isn't there one with the balloons as well that you got to move pretty quickly? And it's like, oh god, this one's.
Yeah, well, it's not that bad, but it's.
No, still... but I think I might have died the most on that one. Just some bad timing, or there's one part where I think we have to keep catching enemies and throwing them so you won't fall down, and then you finally catch like a balloon at the end or something.
Whoa.
That was tough. That was pretty tough, especially for a kid. I could see that being really tough.
So yeah, that was, I guess, something to bring up. And the bosses themselves are pretty easy.
Pretty easy. Even the last boss, I mean, you might die a time or two, but you'll figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah. Pretty easy. So, but
and he throws like giant snot tissue booger things at you.
Yeah.
Or whatever those things are.
Water fountains of gray goof. Ash come flying up from below.
From below.
And yeah, so.
Pretty weird, but
no, it's an enjoyable game, definitely, if you haven't given it a go, I would say. So
yeah, it's a decent game.
Yeah,
anything else you'd like to throw out there?
No, I think that's about it. So yeah, pick it up, guys, and enjoy it.
Nice. That's I'll definitely pass those sort of sentiments on as well. I think it's a good little GBA game. So I guess with that, then, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we hope you will enjoy our next episode as well. So we will catch you next time.